everyone, it's Angela Stevens with the podcast Refocus with Angela. And we are here with Mr. John Gold, who is a partner with Reynolds and Gold Law Firm. And we are going to be talking about Social Security. This is a part two of our series that we talked about bankruptcy and Social Security today. So if you did not hear the one on bankruptcy, I would highly encourage you to listen to it. It is so valuable in terms of the resources that John has provided for us. So John, thank you so much for joining us today.
Angela, certainly. Always a pleasure.
Awesome. So I want to just jump right in here and tell everybody how this all came about. So unfortunately, my brother passed away the day after Thanksgiving, but he had gotten macular degeneration. It was advanced. He had diabetes then, but he couldn't work and he couldn't see. And so I had to do a lot of the things for him. So immediately we tried to apply for Social Security. So I immediately called John and said, how do we go about this? And so we did. And then I did the application myself, but then we were denied. And I was surprised why we were denied. And I'm going to tell everyone on the in our listenership why it happened. And then I'm going to let you explain officially why it happened. So basically, my brother was a farmer and he could not see, he could not work. So he had worked at other jobs and he had ran a business, but something happened in the mix of this. So he was denied Social Security and SSI. So we'll get into that in a minute, but he was 58 years old. And so in respect to him, I think it's so important that we educate a lot of people who have no idea, and sometimes it's too late, right? So talk to us a little bit about the process of when you need to start looking into that and what you need to do. And I'll just let you take it from here.
Angela, Social Security disability was created in the mid-1950s by the federal government. Before that, of course, after the Great Depression, Social Security initially came about in the United States as a retirement concept. We pay in, and someday when we hit a retirement age and we want to stop working or slow down, we've got kind of a lifeline of money based on all those years we paid in. And then the government creates the disability program. It worked on the same concept initially. We have people in America working, paying in their Social Security taxes, but they never get to retirement age. They get to a point with health issues like you've described about your brother. And I'm so sorry to hear about his passing. It's such a tough situation after I spent some time with him, and he's a wonderful man. With Social Security, the concept is that you have to pay taxes, not income tax like federal and state, but you have to pay Social Security tax. For those that do, if you don't get to retirement age and you find yourself with health issues that lead you to not be able to work, then one of the options that you have, certainly if you have no other way to sustain your living costs, is to apply for Social Security disability. The Social Security program was then altered yet again to create a different disability program called Supplemental Security Income. Those three words are better known commonly as SSI disability. So we really have two disability programs. The average person in America is going to apply for what I call Social Security Disability Income, SSDI, and that is a concept I've paid in and therefore I'm going to get something back. There are people that haven't worked much. My mom was a common example of that. She raised four kids. My dad was the wage earner in our family. If my mom had gotten us all out of the household and decided she wanted to work and had a, you know, a sudden illness, or she'd been in a car accident and couldn't go to work, even if she wanted to, she didn't have anything paid in. And we had enough resources that would have disqualified her for SSI, because SSI is really for someone that is low income and has virtually no other resources to rely upon to survive. So in the situation of an SSI only recipient, Social Security is going to examine, do they have other income coming into the household? Do they have a spouse, by way of example, that has income? Do they have other assets? So let's say that great grandma died and left me three vehicles that she had. If I'm a single person, I can only have 2,000 of other resources.
And I want to mention something about that. That's really important. You cannot have more than $2,000 worth of assets. Is that correct?
As a single person, and it goes up by $1,000 to $3,000 if you're married. what Social Security doesn't count as part of your resources and assets for eligibility for SSI is if you own a house that you live in and occupy, and if you own one automobile in your name. But by way of example, I had a gentleman call me years ago. He had a bass boat, and that bass boat was valued at more than $2,000. That kept him from getting SSI. Social Security didn't even care whether or not he could work or not. They didn't get the issue of what his medical problems are. They simply told him, you can't file an application because you're over, quote, resource limits. So if the only thing you can qualify for is SSI because you haven't had a long work history, you haven't paid into Social Security, then you may face some issues for eligibility just because of resources or income in the home. The other program is the main one, the SSDI, that, again, is for people that have paid into Social Security. But there's a catch to it. They only examine the last 10 years of work that you've done from the month you file your application. So if I file an application in January of 2023, Social Security is looking back essentially to 2013. And I have to have worked, just as a general rule of thumb, it's a little more technical than what I'm about to say, but I essentially have to pay Social Security taxes in five or more of those prior 10-year periods. Doesn't matter that I worked when I was 20 years old for 10 years. Doesn't matter that I sporadically work for 20 years off and on. It's the 10 years before I file my application for disability. And if I haven't paid enough in on my Social Security taxes, I cannot qualify under that program either. I have to wait for my retirement age to draw the money in my lifetime that I paid in.
It's interesting because I even spoke to other CPAs that I know across the country, and I asked them, I was surprised how many knew and how many did not know. Some they wanted to learn more, but it was like, I was thinking, you're a CPA. I mean, you should know these things. But a lot of people don't understand it because we're not talking about somebody that waits till they're 62 or 65. It's somebody that, for medical reasons or whatever, needs it now. And to give you an example of my brother, they said, you have 4 quarters more that you need to work. Well, he couldn't see, he couldn't drive, so he couldn't work. And he was really stuck between a rock and a hard place. And I was so not fascinated, but surprised at that. I called John, and Social Security will tell you, they will say, I'm looking at your taxes right now. I'm looking at the IRA website. You did not pay. So I want to be clear on this. He had a job between these times, and he was also a farmer, and he paid his taxes, but he didn't pay himself. Right. So did I say that right?
So as an example, I find it a lot with self-employed people. They have income, but they have a lot of expenses in running a business. Farmer, as an example, has a cost in running that farm. And when it comes time to file your tax return, it's not that people didn't file their tax return. It's not that they didn't report their income, but they have enough expenses and other deductions allowed under the Internal Revenue Code, whereby they may have very little, if any, net profit to have to pay self-employment tax on. And that's wonderful if you didn't have to pay tax. But by not paying tax, you're not contributing to Social Security, because one of those taxes is Social Security tax. So I don't get my quarters of credits that you just mentioned that your brother was four short for. And if you're short, you're short. You're not going to qualify for Social Security benefits. Had your brother lived long enough to get to his full retirement age, he would have had an income source for Social Security retirement. He just can't get the money he did pay in other jobs earlier in his life, in the form of a disability payment before.
Right. Which is really shocking. Every time I share this story with people, I'm amazed at how they are amazed. So what can a person do today? Like, for instance, should they be checking this every year? Should they check with their CPA, or should they go online? I believe it's ssa.gov or something, and create their own account. What would you suggest for someone that might be facing this before they're 62 and 65?
Up until a few years ago, every person in America used to get an annual statement. When I say that right now in this podcast, people will say, yeah, I remember getting those. And that's correct. We always got that. And that had three numbers on it. Had our full retirement age number, had a dollar amount we could collect if we took early retirement from age 62 to our full retirement period, and then it had a disability amount. If it didn't show a disability amount, that was my signal, something's wrong. I didn't pay in. I need to investigate that. What can I do now while I'm working to maybe pay more in and have that eligibility? Now, the government stopped sending those statements out several years ago as a cost-saving measure, but they make that information for us available online. It is SSA, which stands for Social Security Administration.gov, which stands for government. So SSA.gov.
I remembered that. That's amazing, actually. I was guessing that when I said that, because it's very easy to use, right? And anyone can, you're not alerting, you're not like raising the flag to Social Security. It's information for you to know as a person, correct?
You create your own Social Security account. They call it a My Social Security account. And that will show you the numbers that I just mentioned, your full retirement age number, your age 62 to retirement age amount, which is always a little less than your full retirement. If you take the early amount, you're going to take that until death. You can't raise it at the time you get to your full retirement age. And it's going to tell you if you have enough credits to receive disability benefits, should you need to apply for disability due to an illness, injury, something that's keeping you from working. But if you see a number there, then that tells you what it is. I can't tell you, Angela, how many people come into me that they filed for Social Security disability, they've been denied, they have a letter denying it. And I ask them a simple question. Do you know even how much you might qualify for if you did pursue this successfully and were finally awarded eligibility for disability? No, I don't know what that number is. And I said, how can you plan for the future? Is the thought in my head, if the person doesn't know how much they can qualify for. So I would invite anyone to access Social Security's website. That website, ssa.gov, is their only website. If you're going to other websites, it's probably a fraud. It's not Social Security. But you can, in a simple task of creating a username and a password, you can create your own Social Security account and you can see these numbers.
Right. And I did that with my brother because he couldn't see. So I got to experience this one-on-one. That's why I felt this podcast is so important. And I think this information is very important. So one of the, as our Refocus at Creative Office is our main company, and it's all about products that help you focus, whether you have ADHD or not. But I read an article and I wanted to share it with you. It's kind of interesting. It was about parents who had children who had ADHD or anxiety or a lot of different things that made them qualify, the kids qualify for SSI, and they were qualified. And then they didn't want to get off of it. And so then the parents struggled saying, look, this is not something that you want to do. But what advice do you have people for kids like that? Let's say they're turning 18. I mean, because they can't have any assets at that point over 2000, correct?
That's correct. So if you have someone that's become an adult, age 18, by way of example, and they're physically or mentally, or maybe combination of both, unable to work, then those parents can assist that now adult child in filing for SSI. They haven't obviously worked. They haven't paid in Social Security taxes, so they can't qualify for SSDI, but there's the chance they can qualify for SSI. Most of those children, in my experience, in representing families like that, the children are living either in a group home setting or they're living with their family, yeah, because otherwise they could not live on their own and support themselves due to lack of finances. And so the SSI program is all that they can get. SSI has a cap amount, meaning a maximum amount you can draw per month. It's a little over 800.
Imagine, I was going to say, how does anyone live on $800 a month, right?
If you haven't paid taxes on Social Security in the relevant period that we just discussed, then SSI is your only option. And if you're fortunate to be found disabled and qualify for SSI, then the other unfortunate news, sadly, is it's a fixed amount of money that most people could never survive on their own. And therefore, they're either living with roommates, they're living with family, they're doing their best to meet other expenses, and that income doesn't go that far to meet those expenses.
So when you're 16 or 17 and you're getting this amount, if you get it directly, I mean, it's pretty exciting. You've got all this extra money, right? But there's a catch. Do you want to get that car? Do you want to get that house? Do you want to get, you know, do you want to plan for the future? And you're trapped. When individuals do that, they can stop that, right? I believe at any time. Is that correct?
You mean stop the benefits?
Uh-huh. Like if you have a child that's 18, 19, 20, they're getting their SSI, but they want to buy a house, they want to do more. Can they stop that and then go back? How does that work?
So ultimately, as an adult, if I'm drawing SSI because I didn't pay into Social Security, again, that's the concept. SSI is for those that haven't worked enough, haven't paid enough in, and certainly a younger person is going to likely fall into that category of not having paid Social Security taxes. But let's say that the parents were to buy a home for them to live in and they can live independently. That resource doesn't count against you. One home in your name doesn't count. Parents or someone could afford and pay for a car and title it in that adult child's name. That doesn't count as a resource. But if they were to be gifted $10,000 and it's sitting in a bank account for them to draw upon, that counts as a resource over the $2,000 for a single person limit. And that's going to cause them to then automatically lose their SSI. So they can stop it if they want. They can go to Social Security and say, I don't want this benefit anymore. But if they are determined to be over the resource limit as a single person for $2,000, or let's say that 20-year-old gets married and the other spouse doesn't have any assets, now that total asset limit, excluding your home and your car in your name, can be $3,000. But still, that $10,000 bank account balance is going to be over that. And therefore, you're still going to lose your SSI benefit.
And I would say, don't be afraid to contact an attorney. Don't be afraid to call Social Security. You're going to wait 30, 40 minutes or whatever. But once you talk to someone, especially if you get a nice person, they're very helpful. And they will tell you, look, this is your options. This is what you can do. This is what you cannot do. And then if it gets complicated and more, I would suggest contacting an attorney that specializes in that area. So talk to us about that. So we know that you specialize in that. So we'll put your contact information. But if you're in another state, because I know you're in Missouri, how do you find a really great attorney in your field, in Social Security or bankruptcy?
And so I tell people the first thing that I would do is look and read the information on Social Security's website. They have, over the years, improved it drastically to make it user-friendly. They have a lot of wonderful information. They have a frequently asked questions section that contains a whole host of answers to the common questions that the average person looking into the disability program would have. Start there. Number two, if you decide to file, you can do that online. You can file with the help of a Social Security representative through a telephone interview. Those are the common two ways to file an application. You don't need an attorney to file an application, contrary to a lot of people's popular belief that attorneys have to become involved at that point. Right. But then if you're denied or you want to talk to someone in the legal field before you even file that application, which I do get those calls, then Do a Google search. Look for Social Security disability attorneys. You're probably not going to find Social Security retirement attorneys. There's, to my knowledge, not people that specialize in the retirement program, but you are going to find a whole host of attorneys that practice in the disability arena. Make a call. Go in and see them. Again, most of those conferences are going to be free of charge. Yeah. All it costs you is your time. You're getting the attention of someone that's knowledgeable that can explain this information to you, make it more understandable. These are complicated programs. Social Security's literature sometimes becomes overwhelming to try to understand it. Letters from Social Security, sometimes I hate to say it because I think Social Security is a wonderful agency, but sometimes their letters aren't written in a common sense manner for us to understand. And people just don't understand. They hear SSI. They hear SSDI, they hear disability. It all means the same. You got to prove that I can't work. But really, these two programs are, which source of income do I actually get? Something I paid in, which is usually going to give me a higher amount, or am I going to get SSI only because I haven't paid in and I'm going to get a lower amount of money?
Exactly. And again, going through it myself, just make the phone call. Don't be afraid. What I hear a lot of people doing is when they owe a lot, whether it's in bankruptcy or Social Security, when they're getting calls or they avoid it and they don't return the phone calls, they don't look into that, but that can get you into trouble, right? So you want to make sure that you find out the information and face it, because sometimes our biggest, I always say face your fear, because what we fear, we create. And it's one of my favorite sayings, Social Security is the unknown, right? People don't realize it because they don't need it until later in life.
We all just know we pay in and we hope that one day we'll have a little bit of a sum of money coming back to us until death. And we never anticipate when we're healthy and working and active in our life that there may be a day coming before I can see that retirement benefit coming to me where I need it in the form of a disability payment. And it would be nice to know whether if I haven't worked a lot Am I going to qualify for something if I ever need that safety net? There are some people like we found in our conference with you and your brother that because he didn't pay in and because he had some other resources, he couldn't qualify for either program, no matter how bad, horrible his health was, that probably easily would have been determined by Social Security to be disabling and something that he couldn't work because of. He just didn't qualify to get the sources of either of these programs' money.
Right. Sometimes you'll get a friendly person. Sometimes you'll get a person that's very harsh. Call back, because that harsh person doesn't know your situation. They don't know what you're going through. One of the things that I did want to ask you, and this is very, very specific, understanding the differences. Like I said, I had to jump in. I had to figure it out for myself. But learning the differences, you know, between SSI, there was one thing I was going to ask you too before. If you file for Social Security, it'll say, do you want to file for SSI as well? So help us understand when a person should do that and when they shouldn't, because that was actually one of the questions that we had. And sometimes it can hurt you or benefit you, right? So can you elaborate on that?
So if I have paid into Social Security, I'm probably going to receive in SSDI benefits an amount greater than what SSI would pay me. And as a result of that, I don't get both. I get the higher of the two programs, whichever one would pay me the most. So if one program would pay an individual $1,500 and the SSI would only pay you a little over $800, which is the maximum, then I want to only apply for the SSDI because it's going to pay me the greater.
Yeah.
But on occasion, and it's fairly rare, you may have someone that hasn't worked a lot and they may have some SSDI eligibility, for example, $500 a month.
Yeah.
They would want to go ahead and check the box applying for SSI also, because the SSI program could kick in and pay them the difference between what SSDI would pay at $500 and the maximum of the SSI at $800, a little over $800. They would get that extra benefit from SSI to get them the maximum that SSI would pay them to begin with. So that's a situation where you ought to check the box and apply for SSI, but the average person is probably going to fall somewhere between a benefit rate of $850 and about $2,000 in America based on the income that they've earned and what taxes they've paid for Social Security. They don't necessarily have any incentive to check the box applying for SSI. But, you know, back to checking your account on Social Security's website, creating your own Social Security account, that helps you see what you may qualify for so that you know whether it's worth checking that box for SSI.
Exactly. You and I, we've hit it off for years. We've always been great friends. But if I'm going to find an attorney that specializes in this, but I just got a uneasy feeling, or I don't feel like that's the attorney for me, sometimes people will go ahead and work with that attorney. What is your advice on that? Because you're going to be working with them for a while.
Generally, if you're denied on your application, you're going to always have a right to appeal that decision. You don't have to accept the initial decision of Social Security that I don't qualify. There's an appeal process that you really need legal guidance and to hire an attorney to do. Social Security creates the way that attorneys are paid. It's paid on a percentage, which means there's no reason you shouldn't hire an attorney if you can find one to take your case, simply because you're not paying out of your pocket. And generally, people don't have the money if they're not working.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And it also paralyzes some people from even contacting a lawyer because they think, I couldn't afford a lawyer. I don't have income to even support myself not working. How would I be able to pay for an attorney to take my case? Attorneys are paid on a percent of benefits only if you become eligible for benefits. So you could go through the whole process with an attorney and still ultimately be turned down through your appeal process, and you're not going to owe your attorney anything, and they're going to have work for free. So don't, first of all, be paralyzed not to talk to an attorney, because that cost is not the factor that you should be focused on. Rather, it should be focused on getting good advice. So if you're with someone that you don't feel like is attentive, responding. This is a long process. There's going to be gaps of time when you're not going to hear from your attorney.
Exactly.
There's nothing as lawyers can tell you, because there's nothing happening in your case. But ultimately, there is going to be an end of your case, and you're going to hear from your attorney, and you're going to work with your attorney. So just be patient. First of all, try to get a better understanding of how the process works. Listen to the legal advice that you're given. But if you're still dissatisfied, it doesn't mean you can't change it.
Yeah. And I want to make a quick point. If you have, and I need to do this for you, John, but if you've had a good experience with an attorney about something like this, always, if there's a way to leave a review or something online, it's helpful to the next person. And sometimes I say that we always want to leave bad reviews, but we don't leave good reviews. So if you have a good attorney or somebody that's really good, really write about them because they will appreciate it. But you'll also educate somebody else in knowing that, hey, this is somebody that I trust that you should really look at. So it's a, you know, it's a complicated process, right? And that's why we broke this podcast up into two sessions. Why did you choose? I know why you chose bankruptcy and you can cover that, but why Social Security? Because it's not the most exciting area, right?
I would agree. It's probably not the most exciting area, but it's an area of law that you feel like you're really helping someone, especially someone that certainly never anticipated that contracting a life-threatening disease or being in a horrific car accident or, you know, different things happen in their life. I lost a client recently to Lou Gehrig's disease. He survived a year. And he never got a chance to see his disability application through before he passed away so suddenly. So, you know, you encounter people in dire situations. Oftentimes, they're not in good health. They're not only in pain and suffering, but they also are facing the financial stress that lack of income from not being able to work causes any of us, for that matter. So I feel it's a rewarding area of law, even though it may not be the most glamorous.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Any kind of stress, it affects your health. It affects your family. It affects your so many issues. So deal with those one by one. That's my advice. But, you know, we had talked about, you know, how you get focused and, you know, when you're going to that meeting and you get in your car and, you know, last time you said it was Thunderstruck. And I asked you before we started, I said, do you have another song? And you said, yes. So what is that other artist or genre that you listen to?
So one of the other genres for me is country music. And one of the earliest artists that I started to follow years ago was the career of Kenny Chesney.
I knew you were going to say that for some reason. I have no idea why.
A guy about my size. I'm not very tall and he's bald and I'm bald and we're not too far distance in age from one another. And so I've just kind of watched his career evolve to somebody that packed stadiums. And so one of the songs that I've always enjoyed that he came out with years ago is a song called I Go Back. And I Go Back is him talking about all of the things that he encountered growing up in life in a small town in Tennessee. And I grew up in a small town in Iowa. And many of the examples that he gives throughout that song of events that happened, good and bad events, happy, sad events, really kind of takes you back to your earlier life and reminds you of where you came from. And I came from a hardworking family. My parents instilled that in the four children they raised. And
same.
It sometimes helps me refocus to remember the foundation I started with and the hard work that was ingrained in me to tackle the next task ahead. So I Go Back does that for me.
I go back to the smell of an old gym floor and the taste of salt on a Carolina shore after graduation and drinking goodbye to friends. I go back to watch the summer fade to fall, growing up too fast, and I do recall wishing time would stop right in its tracks.
I assume you've seen him in concert.
I've seen him many times. I love it.
At the Chiefs Stadium?
At Arrowhead. That's correct.
Been there twice. I love it. It's a show that it was pouring down rain. You were probably there. It was great. So definitely we're going to give a shout out to him on this as well, because I think it's so great. Because again, that song, I always say music can bring you up. It can bring you down. It can keep you focused, or it can just help get you through the day. So thank you so much. So again, you've already done one of these and you were fabulous. I thank you so much. Again, I would encourage you, if you're listening to this, to go back and listen to the podcast on bankruptcy. And then this is on Social Security. But if you have a family member that you love, that you want to help, this is one podcast episode you don't want to miss. So thank you so much, John. You're such a pleasure having on here. And I know we'll have you again. So thank you again.
Thanks for having me and letting me talk about things that I enjoy talking about.
Awesome.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Refocus Careers. If you are looking for a new job, a new career, check us out at refocuscareers.com/podcast. If you're looking for career coaching, we also offer that, as well as gift certificates if you want to give that to your young adult that is maybe not sure on what they're looking for in their life. But if you do that, it's going to change their life. Check us out at refocuscareers.com.